come to Jesus and they start asking you, tell us when these things will be. You know, he talked about the dismantling, basically the destruction of the temple. Not one of these stones will be left upon another. And they say, what are the signs? When are these things going to happen? What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And they're asking a number of questions. They're asking about, what are you talking about immediately? And so he was pointing towards the destruction of the temple. But then they start asking questions about the sign of his coming and the second coming, and we know that will be at the end of the age. And so Jesus said, take heed that no one deceives you. A lot of deception going on. A lot of deception coming from within the church, sadly. I think there's just a lot of guys that are afraid to stand, you know, to stand against what's going on. And I was just thinking about this, and I was praying about it. It was yesterday, and I think that there's a lot of men standing in pulpits that still believe that it's their ministry, and they're afraid to lose their ministry. And the reality is, all of these things, you know, when Jesus said, because they hated me, they're going to hate you. Just know that it's coming. And we need that reality check that whatever's coming, there are battles with God. It's not with me. It's not with you. It's not with those who love the Lord and are born again. And we have to remember that. I don't know what's going to come. We're certainly not living under a bush, right? We're not hiding the light in a basket. Yet God has protected us. He's been our refuge through all of this. I was talking to Pastor Kevin, and it was how bizarre back in March. I was thinking about too that Beth and I had gone to Olympia to help my mom get ready to move, and it was about 2 or 3 days after we landed, we're back in Michigan, that the first first person in a senior home in Seattle passed away, and it was announced. It's like, we're just there. We were in SeaTac, one of the busiest airports, you know, in the United States. And sure enough, man, it just started raging. And how wild it was, because the first Wednesday, Sunday, first couple were just Kevin and I. And then I told the guys, look, you guys want to come, you come. And they started coming. And then I think the worship team got sick of hearing me sing worship a cappella, and so they got together. I could just see it now. They're all calling, Pastor needs help, let's pray. And so I got a text that the worship team had prayed and the Spirit was telling them it's time to come back. And but you know, just how wild it was all then. And you know, now that we know what we know, despite what they're telling us, and we're going to talk about some of that stuff tonight. I will not, and I have said this, and I'll commit to you for 2021, I'll never shut the church down again. I'll leave it up completely to you and the Lord and the leading of the Holy Spirit, what each and every one of you will do. So it's, you know, it's a must. It's necessary, especially for what's ahead. But, you know, take heed that no one deceives you. And you know, sadly, so many people and so much of the church is connected to the world. Another thing, and we'll talk, we have a leadership dinner coming up. Beth and I love to do that for the leadership. And we get together and we talk about finances. I'll just share it with you. We're going to end up this year with more money than we started the year in a COVID year. You know, has God not blessed and taken care of this body? It's mind-boggling, you know. And really, that's my measurement, I guess, to a certain extent, you know, and really kind of the commitment I made to the Lord. Lord, you know, if you're not in this, I don't want to be a part of it. I don't have the energy. I'm not creative enough to come up with stuff, you know, and have a church program. I don't know how to do that. If you're not in it, I don't want to be in it. But if you're in it, you'll show us by supporting and doing those things, and he is. So it's been really cool. you know. And God's faithful. He's so faithful in those things. But we're going to continue to tell, you know, I'm going to continue to tell you the truth. And I know that God's tempered me quite a bit along the way. But I think that there's some things that need to be said concerning, you know, the vaccinations and the different things. And so we'll talk about those. But it says, for many will come because they're deceiving. I'm going to tell you right now, there's a lot of deception going on. And there's a lot of deception, sadly. And we'll talk about one of the big church leaders here in the United States, Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, that came out and, you know, thinks that it's a Christian's duty to do it. And you know, so we'll talk about that. But for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, I'm the anointed, or the anointing, and will deceive many. I always cringe when somebody goes, you got the anointing. You know, no, there's only one anointed one, and that's Christ. You know, and just the crazy stuff that's going on in Jesus' name today, and it's bizarre. You know, when you think about everything that's going on, I mean, this has been the year that would change the skeptic's mind, wouldn't you think? I remember years ago talking to I don't remember the exact subject. And it may have been about gay marriage or something like that. He goes, that'll never happen. And I said, Dad, do you realize that just recently, and there was another thing that had just, and we were saying, that'll never happen. Think of all the that'll never happens that happened in 2020. Right in front of our faces. No veil. So, and we'll see many, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Oh, there's going to be wars coming. And, you know, we're just talking about it out front. Ezekiel 38:39, I believe, is the precursor, a world at war to a certain extent. It won't be a world war, but it'll be, you know, a part of the world at war with Jerusalem, with Israel. I was just reading, there's another leader of the Likud party that has thrown his hat in for the rebuilding of the third temple. Was able to go up and pray on the Temple Mount, which was used to be no-no. Now they're allowed to do it. There's no doubt there's an agitation that comes from Israel's recognition and claim to that mountain, to that hill where the temple used to be, and now more and more of its leaders are looking and desiring the rebuilding of the temple, and which is going to happen, I believe. So, and according to Scripture, it's going to. But wars and rumors of wars, and it's been in place for a while. What's going to set it off? I don't know. There's no doubt that the rest of the world wasn't too happy with the Trump administration's peace treaties with Saudi Arabia and the nations of the Sinai Peninsula or the Arabian Peninsula. And it might be when this administration comes in and tears all that up that it opens the door for it. I don't know, but it's going to happen. And, you know, look where we're at right now. I mean, is America going to play any part anywhere we're certainly not mentioned in that war, and certainly not mentioned in tribulation and end times, which means we've either thrown our hat in with the globalization of the world, the one world leadership, the one world religion, or we are impotent to a great extent because our government won't come to the aid of Israel and we sit it out. There's a reason why we're not mentioned. And certainly, when we look at the spiritual temperature of America today, it's not it's not a nation that God can bless, right? And so, you know, that's all going to play a part of it. But see that you're not troubled. And we're going to talk about not being troubled with all this. And certainly the church was rattled. And once the dust settled and some, you know, myself included, as some pastors that, you know, looked and go, well, wait a second, what are we doing, right? There was some trouble. We were troubled at first. I mean, we don't know. We've never had to deal with this before, and they're telling us that we have to do, you know, what we have to do, what we can and can't do. And certainly part of it was out of concern for each of you and the body of Christ, and not knowing what God's instruction was in those things, and then seeking the Word and seeing that the Lord has pretty clear instructions, not only for His people, but for His church. And so we worked our way through that, but that we're not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And 2020 is coming to an end, but Jesus said this isn't the end of it. And we need to be honest with ourselves. This isn't the end of it. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. A.W. Tozer wrote this: let us be alert to the season in which we are living. It is the season of the blessed hope. Remember that, Christian. It is the season of the blessed hope, calling for us to cut our ties with the world and build ourselves on this one who will soon appear. He is our hope, a blessed hope, enabling us to rise above our times and fix our gaze upon Him. And I wanted to start with that because we're going to talk about some things that are going to confront us here pretty soon, some realities that we've lived through, some of which it may have escaped us because of COVID, and everything was COVID. And so, and it was a wild year, right? Can anybody remember a wilder year? I remember walking into the bedroom, I think it was, got out of the shower, and Beth is, oh my God, what? And the planes flying in, that never happened here, right? And so we've seen a lot of things. Many of the global plans have been clearly revealed, and we've talked about it over and over again. They're not hiding it anymore, right? World Economic Forum, Davos 2020, ID 2020, all of these things, they've come out. They have leveraged a world pandemic, a world catastrophe, in order to bring in, you know, their plans and to start preparing not only the population for their plans, but the things that they want to do in order to bring all peoples together, I guess, so to speak. The World Health Organization, United Nations, we've seen a huge, huge movement in the modern ecumenical movement. Science and secular humanism is the world religion today. Don't be deceived. It's not Catholicism, it's not the church, or you know what the world considers Christianity today. It's not Islam, it's not Buddhism, it's not Hinduism. It's an acceptance of all those things. It is secular humanism. I mean, everything that you see going on today is all psycho guilt or psycho manipulation, use of words and language in order to do it. Science and technology are the gods of this world today. And, you know, the thing is, all the while that this is building up, Mammon, Ashtaroth, Molech, Gaia have been subtly adored by these culture creatures, by secular humanists. Sadly, by many church organization leaders. And we know Mammon is the god of money, greed, Ashtaroth, sensuality, sexual pleasure, I believe, gender confusion that we see today. Who would have ever thought that you would have the option when your child was born to not declare a gender? Oh, God, I think you're confused. No, I'm confused. I can't tell if it's a boy or a girl. Now, I can tell you, when we had ours, I was looking. Oh, okay, we got a Hannah. Oh, okay, we got a PG. I knew. God. Molech, abortion, prosperity. Gaia. I mean, we have leaders of countries that are invoking the name of Gaia. But Mother Earth worship, that's climate change. That's what it is. It's the devaluation of human life. I discovered, I was watching TV the other day, I said, hey, Beth, maybe the church should do this. We could have millions. And all we need to do is set up a commercial for people to send us money to save the polar bears. Because you know money, the millions are rolling in, and they're not going to tell you, although they're diminishing to a certain extent in Alaska and part of the Antarctic, that they're exploding in Russia and different areas. Because guess what? They're like anybody else. They're like Michiganders. They're going to move where the weather is, right? They're just finding a Florida for themselves, and they like the cold and the ice and everything else, and that's where they go. But sorry, that was a little rant on my part, but you can be a millionaire. Even the Pope has clearly stated that liberty and freedom stand in the way of secular advancement. The other thing is you have to listen to the language they're using. The big thing is now compliance. Compliance. We're just looking for compliance. We can't mandate it. They've mandated things, and they've gotten, some of them have gotten their hands slapped for mandating things that were, because it wasn't, or it was against the law, but they said it was the law, but they're looking for compliance. And so they exercised that and then waited for the, you know, courts to either hold it up and stuff. But they're looking for a compliant, free. People at liberty aren't always compliant to unlawful subjugation to the powers that be. Conspiracy theory, and they say it, misinformation. You notice how much they're talking about misinformation. In fact, they are, your First Amendment rights are being trampled all over. And I can tell you this, most of the time, and there is some conspiracy theories out there, okay? Most of it, though, when they say misinformation, what they're saying is we just don't want everybody to know what truly is going on, and then they're removing it. But that's what misinformation is. But there, you hear it all the time, misinformation. Oh, well, we're not going to allow that because it's misinformation. No, it's exposing what you're doing. And you're trying to hide it, and you're using words again to do it. Essential and non-essential. That burned me up right out from the beginning. And I believe that it was when, you know, okay, we're just opening it up, come back as the Holy Spirit leads you. The church is essential. In fact, the church through all of this has been the most essential. What a bunch of wimps leading these places that isn't willing to, no. Oh, it's okay. They could just stay at home and listen to me. Look, I don't think I'd have made it 9 months if I couldn't see you and hug you and spend time with you. Kevin and I probably would have been beating each other up in the back of the, but, you know, essential, non-essential. It's random and it's senseless because, and just so you know, the reason why the restaurants are shut down, and they did that on purpose, were the three largest gathering holidays in succession. We're coming up Thanksgiving, which has a lot to do with food, but family. And so, you know, but people go out for dinner around Thanksgiving and then Christmas. But the big one, and the reason that she shut it down here in the States, and the big one is New Year's. Not only restaurants, but bars, huge gatherings. That's why they did it, to keep you all compliant to their will and to their whim, and with no proof that those were the vehicles by which everybody's getting sick. In fact, I believe it's been estimated that only about 4.4 of those that were getting sick could be traced back to a restaurant, 4.4%. And I talked about it on Sunday. As far as I know, 0% here at the church. Most of the people that got it probably picked it up either at the store, place of work, whatever. Yet essential, non-essential, and it's really nothing more than trying to keep us all apart. Prolong, and I understand so that the hospitals don't get inundated to a certain extent, but you're just prolonging. You're prolonging the inevitable, right? We live in a time that the Webster Dictionary organization is literally changing or amending definitions to fit the global socialist narrative. In fact, it happened during one of the Senate hearings, and Hiromo, the horror from Hawaii, I can't remember what term was used, that the person that was there giving testimony used. I just remember that night Webster amended the definition of the term so that she could come in the next day and say, that is inappropriate because here's the definition of it. And it was done in a night. Amazing. Changing and amending meanings. Believe the science and the data. Because they say it, it's true. You understand that that's how they operate. Because they say it, it's true. Believe the science and the data. Well, they don't produce the data because from the very beginning, the data was wrong. In fact, the data that they acted upon way back when from the University of Washington that was funded by Bill Gates was way off. And it has been ever since. They've been skewing it. They've been manipulating it. They've been, you name it. But you have to believe the science and the data. Miscalculations have turned into manipulations. Misuse of words like cases. A case, you understand, it's not a case until the person is submitted into the hospital. Otherwise, it's just a positive test. Death due to COVID, all to keep the population in uncertainty and fear. The science, they have changed their findings, their recommendations so many times. I can tell you what I believe about science is they still don't have a clue what they're dealing with. That's the truth. And if they do, they aren't telling us the truth. You see what Dr. Fauci, the amazing Dr. Fauci, came in the other day. He goes, yeah, well, I lied. I lied along the way. You know, they roasted Trump for not, you know, kind of soft pedaling a little bit so people don't get all wound up. Yeah, I lied. It's going to be more like 85 to 90% for herd immunity, that every 85 to 90% need to have been sick or gotten a vaccine for herd immunity, not the 65 to 70 that he was saying earlier. Oh, thank you for telling us the truth. They don't know. The truth is, a virus is going to do what a virus does, and that is spread until it no longer has a host in which it can thrive and replicate and be passed on. That's what viruses do. You know that? We have one that visits us every year, different kind every year. All the while, society has been dealing with a global pandemic. Global agents have been moving for global economics, which will see the end of cash. All monetary values are going to ultimately be electronic because you can get COVID from money. And then they say, and surfaces and everything else. Now, you know, they've about a month ago, they say, well, you really can't get it from surfaces. But believe the science. South China already boasts mobile or electronic payments accounting for 4 out of 5 transactions right now in that country. And it's climbing pretty quick here in the United States. Major digital currency firms are prepared to go public. And the predictions are that China is going to be the first country to abandon cash altogether. And as they follow suit, think about this, because most of the world's economy, in fact, the world's economy is based on the U.S. dollar. What's going to happen to our economy? Not only was 2020 dominated by COVID, and we could go on and on and on about COVID, and we talked about COVID, and I think we addressed it along the way over the last 9 months. I mean, we all have a pretty good grasp on it, right? Oh, and by the way, there's a new, more infectious strain. Just stay in your home. Just so, and they're coming out with this before they've even researched it, had time to test it, 75% more. I mean, that's just random. Let's just throw out a number that'll keep everybody on their toes, right? And it might be. And the virus is going to do what the virus does, and that's going to be spread until it can no longer find a host in which it can thrive and replicate and pass on, right? And I'm not saying it like this to be plausible, right? I understand the seriousness of this, but it's not what they have promoted it to be. You're not necessarily going to die if you get it. It's not a death sentence. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in a little bit. We had widespread civil unrest during the pandemic, something completely unrelated. And in that, we saw a society in support of lawlessness, wildfires that burned out of control all over the Western U.S. And the most devastating of those and some of the largest ones were in the middle of California. Do you know that like 70% of our nation's produce comes from Central California? It's something like that, 60 or 70%. It's a big, big number. Earthquakes, floods, hurricanes, all these things were going on. Earthquakes in the weirdest places. Places that you wouldn't ever hear about earthquakes. And of course, that's from fracking. But I think it's something completely different. I think it's something that Jesus kind of gave us a heads up about 2,000 years ago, that there are going to be labor pains, that the earth itself, creation itself yearns, it says, for its, the return of its creator. We have failed so miserably, and not in climate control. There's no man-made climate. We're just in sin. And so we have all kinds of things going on, and weather has moved to different areas and different places. And a locust invasion that's one of the largest and most devastating on record. And you didn't hear a lot about it because it certainly wasn't affecting us, right? Weird weather patterns in the Arabian Peninsula, in the most remote part of the desert of Arabia that hardly ever gets any rain, had a couple of, not tsunamis or hurricanes, what are the things over there? Typhoons that made it inland and dropped so much water that these locusts hatched and just started devastating down in the southern, all the way up to the southern part of Europe, and then the western part, eastern part of Africa, just devastating crops. Huge. The UN World Food Program is predicting that 2021 is going to see the most catastrophic food famine since the UN began in 75 years ago. You hear about that? They say that the famine is knocking on the door, and because of the draconian measures instituted here in the U.S., about 50 million people are experiencing food insecurity. There's a food insecurity. And people aren't getting food. But it's because they closed down the schools, which every scientist that I know of said they should have never done, but believe the science when it's convenient, because that's where most of our kids, a lot of them, get fed as part of the taxes that we pay, right? School closures, record high unemployment, and overstressed food banks. And yes, we've seen, they have shown us the lines for food banks and stuff. And there are people that are suffering, and there are people that need help. And we can help them. I mean, if you hear about it, help them out. But think about it. America feeds the world. If we're suffering, how bad is it around the rest of the globe? We feed the world. Do you realize that? All the while, citizens of the world are being told everything is going to be okay when we get the vaccine. And, you know, how many interviews have you seen in commercials of the people almost crying? And how do you, now that you know that the vaccine, you know, how do you feel? Oh, I finally have hope. I finally have hope. There's hope. The vaccine is hope. Have you heard that? The world is searching for hope. And world leaders think vaccines are the hope that the world needs and that they can provide it. Moderna, Pfizer. Well, let's look at the first two out. Moderna and Pfizer. And we know about Moderna. Moderna is a Gates organization. I mean, at least he backs it quite a bit. There's no doubt that there was a huge competition to be the first one out. I think you're looking at trillions of dollars ultimately, because their desire is to vaccinate the whole world, 7.3 billion people. You know that they're not like given a discount. Our governments are buying these things. But so the money, there was no doubt it was about the money. So Moderna and Pfizer, here's what we know. Moderna and Pfizer both came out with messenger RNA vaccines. It has never, ever been okayed by the Drug and Food Administration or any other government on earth, this form of vaccination, okay? It's protein synthesis instruction. It's they put protein synthesis instruction in an antigen, or is it a? Well, I believe it's an antigen, and they tell the body how to fight there's antigen and there's antigen and what's the other one? I can't think of the word. Anyway, sorry. Anyways, that's what it does. They do not have original, and these do not, I'm going to tell you, they do not have original aborted fetal DNA traces as their foundation, just so you know. And there are some Christian leaders that are coming out and saying, and because of that, even though the technology or the idea of vaccination came from that original discovery and then the usage of that for other kinds of vaccinations, these do not. So just so you know, and we know the truth about these, right, Dr. Dave? Pfizer, Moderna, no original aborted fetal DNA traces, right? AstraZeneca and Johnson are going to be the next two up. They're trying to get theirs okayed. And these vaccines were developed with trace aborted fetal genetics as the base. They're developed the old-fashioned way, either in animal tissue or in eggs, which is the main thing. They culture this in eggs. You know that? The difference is mRNA can be produced much quicker. It takes less of a dose, although it takes two doses, yet it doesn't need that time to be cultured in a live substrate, or I don't know how you would say that. I'm not scientific, but you understand what I'm saying? So it's easier to develop and manufacture just because of the way that it's made. So I want to point out the obvious. These are being touted as having 90 to 95% effectiveness, depending on which one is coming out, to give you COVID immunity. 90 to 95% COVID immunity. That means 5 to 10% based on whichever one will still be susceptible or can still get COVID, right? If you really look at the data, you can safely calculate the immune system God gave you is better than 99.9% effective in protecting you from death by COVID. Not from getting COVID, but from dealing with it when you get it. 99.9%. Because here's the problem. If you just look at the numbers, which are a mess. Anyways, you cannot quantify how many people have gotten it, have already gotten better, whose immune system, which has a memory bank, it has a huge hard drive, it's faster than the SSD hard drives. Your memory bank, if you got sick and have recovered, has the protein breakdown. So if it were ever to try and invade your body again, your body would know what to do. I can tell you there's four in my family that got it. I'm convinced that we had it. We didn't get tested. It wasn't reported because it was early on in March before they really started testing and everything else. And how many other people do we know that got it, never got tested or anything else? You can't quantify how many. So it's 99.9% or better. mRNA, there are known risks to mRNA that they are not going to tell you about, and I'm going to share them with you, and I have it under good advisement, and I have been, and the guys here have been encouraged to wait a while, about a year. And so I'm going to encourage you, just don't be quick. Two, and I'll talk about it. I have no place to tell you whether or not to get it. But wait, because, here's the thing. The science is only about 20 to 25 years old. And there are some who believe it needs another 20 to 25 years of very rigorous study before it be used and mass-produced for any kind of vaccination that's distributed to the general population. Warp speed. May be the dumbest thing. It is possible that mRNA fragments might enter the cell or the cell nucleus and then enter the genome of the host. Now, there's not a known process for this. This is it's going to mess with my DNA. It's going to mess with my genetics. There's no known process for that, just so you know. So that claim is only a possibility, and we got to be careful with that. There is no known process, but the vaccine researchers currently claim that it could, or that it would be impossible for that to happen, yet we know that science makes a lot of claims to justify what it's doing, only to find out later that they may have opened Pandora's box. mRNA fragments, it codes instructions for protein synthesis in the body. So they can be used to carry payloads of other proteins that have other effects like infertility. That is a concern, a legitimate concern. Why? The World Health Organization has approved vaccines before for young women in Africa that have been found to have trace amounts of HCG, which is an infertility chemical. And we know Moderna is supported by population reduction advocates like Bill Gates. Unabashed, unapologetic. We got to be careful. Some mRNA types are called self-amplifying or a viral replication machinery that forces the body to keep replicating the encoded protein for an extended period of time. So it just keeps replicating, making it impossible to stop the process once injected. These COVID vaccines are only good for 3 months. It's unlikely that they are self-amplifying, because the self-amplifying would probably cover you for longer because it's telling the body to continue to. And this is surface stuff, because this is about as much as I understand about it. The immune response can be larger than intended if the body sees the introduced mRNA fragments as an attack from pathogen. There's the word. It's antigen and pathogen. And an unintended response could elicit an unintended immune reaction. A well-known risk that mRNA material introduced into the body can produce an autoimmune reaction, and the body's immune system is programmed to attack, will then attack other healthy cells. We see autoimmune becoming a little bit more prevalent today. Where'd that come from? If mRNA ends up floating in the bloodstream, it can cause blood clotting or heightened inflammation. If the mRNA gets fragmented and only partial instructions are delivered, it can cause a mistranslation of partial proteins as pathogenic invaders. And if these match critical enzymes and hormones, you know that you have tens of thousands of hormones and enzymes that are protein-based and protein-coded that your body can produce at any given time for what the body needs, whether it's to fight off pathogens or to build the immune system, or, you know, for women to feed in babies and to change the production and the usage of different organs so that the baby's safe, all these things. They're all protein-based. And now you're messing with that coding system. Just saying. And you know more because you're a doctor. Stop me if I say anything that's incorrect. You have every right to step in. But I have a feeling these are the reasons you're encouraging us to be careful, right? Okay. If It matches critical enzymes and hormones the body needs. It could trigger autoimmune response with catastrophic consequences. These would not be instantaneous reactions, but long-term effects over time. Just build. And these vaccines have been granted accelerated approval while skipping critical steps in quality control and critical trials that are necessary. There's a reason why a lot of medications and vaccines take 6 or 7 years. Recently, a well-known Christian leader, president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, his name's Al Mohler, came out with 7 reasons why a Christian should be vaccinated. He states one of the principles of common good, or to love our neighbors as ourselves. And he says it comes down to benevolence, love, care for others, laying down personal priorities for the service of others. He says Christians should take the vaccine because of third parties who cannot take the vaccine or do not have access to it and can still be infected by those who refuse the vaccine. And he has a bunch of different points. You know, this is the president of a theological seminary, and you would think that he would be against taking a position or an opinion and then finding scripture to support the position or an opinion when it's outside of what of anything really biblical, so to speak. And one of the things, points he makes is, with the advancements in medicine and knowledge, that this ability to come up with vaccinations that protect us from these things is fulfilling the command to have dominion over the earth. And okay, you know, because God said, he goes, have dominion over it, figure it out. I want you to figure it out. And I'm not against medication, because I take a couple of them so that my blood pressure doesn't go through the roof and my head doesn't explode in front of you when I'm up here. So this isn't against, but be wise, you know, about it, about what you're taking. So making an argument, you know, in this way, I do not support. Here are the facts. Completely healthy people get COVID. Did you know that? And they die. 19-year-old, perfectly healthy, young lady, contracted it, and I guess it ravaged her pretty quick, and she was done. Compromised people get COVID, and they live. You all know Brandon Asmar? He's got lupus, he's got, I don't know how many things he's got. He lives in pain every day, constant pain. He's been on all kinds of medications. He's gotten off of all kinds of medications. He's got, I think some of his doctors are truly loony. But he called up. He was sick. He was in the hospital. He got admitted, and he came home. Now there's a guy that, based on what they're saying, you would think had a death sentence if he got COVID. God got him through. Isn't that something? To use the wear a mask to protect others argument from the pulpit for getting a vaccine is to completely ignore the majority of people getting COVID wear masks almost all the time. I mean, I'm not saying this to be facetious. That's just the facts. And I know that they don't want their truth ruined by the facts. And that's why they say believe the science and the data all the time, but then they don't give you the science and the data that they claim to be, right? I could just as easily say I am showing great love and adherence to my Lord's commandment by allowing everybody else on earth to get vaccinated before me. I will be last because I love everybody so much that they need it, that they should get it. That's right.
And I want you to know something. It is not my, I do not believe it's my place as pastor to decide for anybody else whether to be vaccinated or not. It's between you and the Lord. I would say that you consider not getting AstraZeneca. One of the other points that Al Mohler came up with was, what was meant for bad, God can use for good. And so because of, you know, these other vaccines may have been developed because of an initial fetal genetic trace, that now it's actually a benefit to society. And so Christians look at it that, look, I will say this, Johnson & Johnson, AstraZeneca, absolutely developed from aborted baby parts, which I have big issue with personally, and I think that there's no way to support what they have done and the selling of parts and the using of parts. That's now, you can't say that of Pfizer and Moderna. They have far too many other possible issues that might arise that there's no way we can know, because they sped everything through and it was okayed before they really spent the time trying to figure out what this kind of science is going to do. You understand? So now you kind of know most of it. There's a lot more to it. I just want you to know the possibilities. And it's possible that it works. Don't know. It is not the mark of the beast. That's going around. In fact, one of the arguments against Al Mohler and what he came up with is, he is trying to trick everybody into taking, that's not the mark of the beast. It is not an eternal decision. If you need, some people might need to get vaccinated. Some people might need for a job. You might have to make a decision about your job. You might need to travel. That's between you and the Lord. And just so you know, if you decide to get one, I'm not going to condemn you. If you make the decision prayerfully and the Spirit and the Lord says, it's okay, go for it. But if you choose not to, I think you have solid ground not to. Because it's just a part of the globalist conditioning program is what's going on. Just so you know. I have already stated they're not putting that garbage in me. I'll trust in God's system, 99.9. And I've already gotten it, so it's 100% for me, just so you know. And everybody else who's gotten it, it's 100% for you. I just want to, one of the things for the end of the, and I know it's a little long, but it's a special night. Matthew 25, then the kingdom of heaven, verse 1, shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five, they're all part, they were all in the wedding party. And I want you to, I'm going to simplify it and just state the obvious in this. They all, if you want to liken it to the church, they all went to church. They're all part of the church. But five were wise and five were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps, took no oil with them. Now, an oil is the type of the Holy Spirit. It's speaking of the Holy Spirit. There were some that didn't have the Holy Spirit. There are a lot of people sitting in churches today that have not been born again of the Holy Spirit. Simple illustration, right? While the bridegroom was delayed, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. They were filled with the Spirit. They had oil in their lamps. While the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out and meet him. We've talked about
the wedding. The wedding party always had to be ready, because when the father said the house is ready, the bridegroom would go out and he would call his bride. They would go. He would, and on the wedding party would come. He would introduce, or he would, you know, they would get the okay or have the wedding, and then go in, and she would stay in for 7 days while he came out and entertained the guests, but brought food into her. And after the 7 days, it was consummated, everything. So that in a nutshell. So that's what's happening. And the bridegroom is coming, go out and meet him. And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamp. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. And so this whole, and just so you know, and Jacob Prosh, he's a completed Jew pastor, and he taught on this, when they come in my name, you know, here is the anointed, here, you know, here is the Lord, you know, the Christ, there's the Christ. He said this, the word is anointed, here is the anointing. The people that go around saying, I got the anointing, and they think they're passing the anointing on to people, he said it's singular and it's individual. Your anointing from the Lord is your anointing from the Lord. You don't pass to anybody, just so you know. And so here are the virgins sitting there and saying, give me some of your anointing. Give me some of the Spirit. That's not our place, right? And so the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready, go out in the world, get it from the tradesmen and everything else, went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. You haven't been born, you didn't have the Holy Spirit. You weren't wise. You didn't accept me. You didn't believe my word, right? Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. 2021, there's going to be some challenges. And I've said it all along, and I'm going to reiterate it going into 2021. The church must be filled by and led by the Holy Spirit of God. We need to seek Him, beseech Him. We need to cry out for more of the Lord and that outpouring of His Holy Spirit right now. It's the only way that there will be revival. That is the only way there will be refreshment and strengthening in the church for what's coming soon. It's the only way that we'll be prepared and have oil for the lamps. How sad. Can you imagine anybody at Calvary Chapel of Oakland County not being prepared for the bridegroom, but thought that they were, and that the Lord would say, I didn't know you. You weren't born again of my Holy Spirit. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine hearing those words? We're going to have communion together. Worshiping's going to come up. Let's seek Him. And really, I believe that God wants to fill His people. Me, I need more of His Spirit every day. Because I can walk in Bill's Spirit and it's not real pretty. Heavenly Father, pour out your Spirit, Lord. We beg you. Fill us to overflowing, more than we can contain. Refresh and renew. Strengthen. Lord, that we be ready to hear the call. The Lord is coming.